Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Weekend Digital Marketing So Far. It's Friday, November 22nd, 2019. We're going to get started like we do every week on YouTube. In YouTube news, in the wake of the FTC's decision to have YouTube make creators mark all content designed for children and to stop running personalized ads on that content, YouTube appears to be trying to find advertisers for the edgier content on YouTube's platform, which has previously just simply been demonetized. The thinking here is that R-rated movies and other adult-orientated businesses might find an audience on YouTube with that edgier, more adult-oriented content. If this works out, it could lead to creators making more adult-focused content and less kid-focused content or kid-friendly content on YouTube. Over on Google. So right after we published the video last week, in fact, while the video was uploading to YouTube, the Wall Street Journal dropped an article and they claimed that they figured out how Google manipulates their search engine to shape the information that you, consumer out there, end up seeing. Now, everyone at first thought that the Wall Street Journal, when you saw the title, was going to do a great job of digging into how Google's algorithm works, how things get skewed, and how some stuff may end up benefiting Google, such as YouTube videos showing up for music queries, or how Google My Business seems to be the dominant place for local business information to show up now. Unfortunately, it looks like that didn't happen. Now, I didn't read the article, so you know, if you're out there disagreeing with me, that's fine. I'm only going to tell you what other people have said. According to those who read the article by the Wall Street Journal, they actually didn't do a very good job explaining or even understanding how Google itself works and how any manipulation that Google might do would actually occur. Instead, it appears to have been a really long drawn out conspiracy theory which drew on old information from years ago and from misquotes of people in the SEO and in the marketing industry. Now, Barry Schwartz, he did an amazing job writing about this on both Search Engine Land and collecting a lot of quotes from other people in the marketing and the SEO industry on his website, Search Engine Roundtable. Again, I'm not reading it because I don't subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. You got to pay to read this article. If you're a Wall Street Journal subscriber, I've got the link down below. Go down there, read it, then read Barry's rebuttal on Search Engine Land, then read all the quotes from Twitter if you want on Search Engine Roundtable. But I will say that Google probably does manipulate their search engine a little bit, whether they do it on purpose or whether they do it on accident. For example, AMP, when it first came out, you put AMP on your website, it's a stripped down version of HTML, but when people hit the back button, instead of going to your homepage, they went to Google and they performed another Google search. That's something they've been working on, it's still kind of there. And that made a lot of people dislike AMP. It made it look like what Google was trying to do is manipulate their search, because they told news publishers that if they don't use AMP, they won't rank in news on Google's mobile app, which is a huge source of traffic for news publishers that survive on traffic to their advertising. So that's manipulation. And another thing Google did recently to manipulate their search engine and the results is they told webmasters if you upgrade to HTTPS, if you add SSL certificates to your website, you will end up ranking higher. Now that's a ranking signal, but it could also be manipulation. Google wanted to secure websites on the internet, and they figured out the only way that they were ever going to push that through was by convincing webmasters to add HTTPS, and the way to do that was to make it a ranking signal. So again, some sort of manipulation. And you can go even further back to when they first announced the featured snippets and they started displaying that content. That's also kind of manipulation. Google's showing answers in the search results and keeping people from clicking and going through to your website. That's a form of manipulation, in my opinion. Again, the Wall Street Journal article, from what I understand, didn't cover any of that. Dive into it if you want. I hear it's a good read. There's a lot of facts actually in there, from what I'm told. It's just they seem to get all the other stuff wrong. Webmasters are claiming that there was yet another Google search algorithm update last weekend. That is probably true. We do know that Google updated over 3,000 times last year, and that they made a statement that they're making multiple updates per week, most likely this year. So yes, you probably did see an update. The claims weren't widespread, so it doesn't appear to have hurt a lot of people or hit a lot of people, impacted them positively or negatively. But yes, there was probably enough. Google is testing a feature inside of their brand new recipe carousel. Now on desktop, that's where it shows the three recipes next to each other, and you can click see more, look through a lot of them. That new feature will allow you to preview a recipe before you click and go through to the website. Now, is this Google making a helpful tool, or does this go back to manipulation, trying to keep people on Google? Who knows? You could check it out. Maybe you have it in yours. I don't see it on my Google search yet, but people are seeing it. They're seeing a preview button. Once you click the preview button, anything you click on will actually take you to the recipe article. If you're a food blogger or a recipe blogger out there, or you're a publisher with recipes on your website, you may notice a decrease in traffic. That could be because people are looking for a quick information, like, does this recipe include carrots, or does it use butter? And if Google can figure that out and show it in that little preview, then it may keep people from clicking through to your actual recipe. Google Ads is likely to launch combined audiences soon. This is where you can tell Google to only show your ad if it matches audience A and audience B. Now, Google hasn't officially announced this yet, but some PPC managers are seeing it in their Google Ads dashboard. So go ahead, log into Google Ads. Maybe you see it too. Maybe an official announcement's right around the corner. Maybe it's a test. We really don't know much at this point. Google Ads sent out an email this week telling advertisers that they are ready for the California Consumer Protection Act, which takes effect next year. Now, I personally think it's a horrible, disastrous act. It's a good attempt, but just like GDPR, I don't think it understands technology. Still, Google Ads says they are ready for it. Go ahead, if you got that email, you might want to read through it, see if there's any negative information you need to be aware of. But in the email, they say there's really nothing you need to do right now. The Google Ads themselves is prepared for the CCPA. Google Ads is banning political ads that target people based on their supposed political leanings globally. It means political marketers, you will no longer be able to say, hey, I've got a Democratic candidate, I want to get their ad in front of Democrats. Can't do that anymore. Now, you will be able to base your ads on age and location and gender, but not on those political leanings. They also said that they're going to start reviewing political ads for factual information. If the factual information is incorrect, they will remove the ad. And the example that was given was, if you're running an ad claiming a political rival has died, but they have not, that ad will be removed or it will just never be allowed to run. However, ads that are a matter of opinion will be allowed, which means you can say things like, the other party can't be trusted, or this is one of the best ideas ever. You could say those things, which are opinions, but you can't state false facts in Google political advertising going forward. Google Search Console will start reporting on product search results data inside of your performance report. If you're eligible, you will see that showing up as a filter option. Google Search Console also accidentally lost image search results data between November 14th and November 19th. If you're looking into your image search results data and you're seeing a big chunk of data missing during that time period, that is probably why you weren't banned. Ask your CEO or your CMO, whoever's freaking out about this, to calm down. Everything's probably fine. Google's John Mueller offered a workaround to a bit of an annoying problem on Google, and that is that it seems to take Google a really long time to discover the no-index robots meta tag directive on a new page. John Mueller said what you could do if you've got a new page that you'd like Google to no-index is, once you publish the page, don't actually put the no-index on it. Publish the page and ask Google to fetch it inside of Google Search Console. Now, once it's done, it'll tell you that the page is eligible to be displayed on Google and that everything's good, and it'll ask you if you want to request indexing. Before you request indexing, go back to the page and add the Meta Robots No Index index tag. Then go to Search Console and go ahead and click on Request Indexing. And when you do that, the first thing that the Googlebot is going to see is the no index tag that has been added, and it will pretty much quickly, according to John, no index that document for you. Users on Google Maps will soon be able to follow local guides in their local area and get updates just like they would on Instagram or Twitter. So for everybody who's been claiming that Google's goal was to turn Google My Business into a social media network, congratulations, You were right. This is rolling out as a pilot test. There are only two markets in the United States that will get this feature, San Francisco and New York City. If you live in either one of those places, this is probably a good opportunity to become a local influencer. Now, of course, we all know where this is going to go. This means local guides are going to start charging money to visit restaurants and stores as influencers. They're probably also going to start demanding free stuff. Up until now, that really hasn't taken place. Local guides really have no power. But Google will be taking the data from local guides, and when they make an update, they'll show it to the people who have elected to follow that local guide. So if Google succeeds and turns Google Maps and Google My Business into a social media network, you're probably going to have to start paying influencers in your local market. Speculation is mounting that Google My Business will be offering their own scheduling app inside of Google My Business for small businesses. Now, they announced the scheduling feature a while back. They have dozens of partners, which are software companies that have their own scheduling features like Mindbody for fitness companies. But the experts in the field are saying that Google My Business is probably really, really close to launching their own scheduling application. Google's Duplex on the web, which they announced at Google I/O. Before I tell you what it's about to do, this is an artificial intelligence component of Google Assistant that is actually going to take transactional action on a user's behalf via a website. And the example they gave us at Google I/O was shopping around for a restaurant or getting, I think it was insurance rates. But now it's been announced that Google Duplex for the web's first actual capability is coming out, and that is that it will be able to purchase movie tickets on behalf of a Google Assistant user. And that means people using Google Assistant, if they're looking for a movie, they can just tell it to buy tickets from a local movie theater. In Facebook news, Facebook is launching an ads status page leading up to Black Friday and Cyber Monday. The goal here is to keep advertisers informed of the status of their ads and the status of the ads manager as a whole, which has some problems with crashing during heavy load times like the holidays. They also rolled out new brand safety tools, including the ability to create blacklists and filters at the account level instead of at each campaign level itself. Blind users say they have a lot of problems using Facebook, and the story that's being told by one blind user isn't just that they have problems using Facebook, it's that Facebook reached out to ask them to participate in a study, which they would give them a gift card for, but when they tried to access the website to register for the gift card, it also had problems, and then they opted out of the study. Of course, this comes at a time when ADA lawsuits are at an all-time high and are just getting worse for small businesses. So Facebook could be the next big company targeted by ADA activists based on the stories we're hearing from blind users. Finally, Facebook announced the dates for their F8 developer conference. And even though this is a developer conference, they tend to announce a lot of marketing tools and new features at these events. F8 2020 will take place on May 5th and 6th. Over on the Snappity Chatty, Fast Company reports that boomers and Gen Xers are now using Snapchat more. And real quickly, the Fast Company article that I referenced down below in the list of links actually says people over the age of 35 and then assumes all those people are boomers. Obviously, I'm over 35 and I'm not a boomer. My parents are boomers. So it's not just boomers, it's boomers and Gen X, but I had to suss that data out myself because Fast Company got that messed up. But yeah, Gen X and boomers are now using Snapchat at a more frequent rate. Snapchat announced that political ads are subject to fact-checking on Snapchat, and then they took a dig at Facebook. We take you now to Bing. Bing announced this week that they've actually been using Google's BERT NLP neural net since April. Now, this comes on the heels of Google announcing that 10% of search results are now subject to being filtered or adjusted by their BERT NLP neural net. That sent SEO scurrying, claiming they were BERT or NLP or neural net or artificial intelligence expert. Bing came out and said they've been doing this since April, even though Google owns it. And actually, this week they released BERT worldwide, and they said they found a way to get the cost down on using BERT on the research results so that they were able to put it in every country on every language. Bing has also applied artificial intelligence deep learning techniques to their image search results. Now they say they're doing this to try to get more specific image search results that match the query that the user typed in. The example Bing gave us is that about a year ago, if you looked for car seats on Bing Images, you would get some photos of cars and you would get some photos of seats inside of cars. Now, if you look for car seats on Bing Image Search, you will see pretty much nothing but photos of seats inside of cars. You will not see photos of the outside of the cars themselves. Bing is now powering the news results for a privacy-focused search engine called startpage.com. This means if you're already listed in Bing News, you may be getting a little extra traffic here pretty soon from people who are looking for privacy versions of search engines like DuckDuckGo or this newcomer, StartPage. Over on Twitter. Twitter rolled out the hide replies feature we told you that was rumored back in September. That is now supposedly accessible to everyone. I haven't actually seen it on my Twitter account, but this just started happening, so in the next day or two, you should be able to see this too. This will allow you to hide replies from people that you don't like or replies that you don't like on your tweets inside of Twitter. This is really big news. Twitter is finally experimenting with the ability to schedule tweets on the normal web version of Twitter. You no longer will have to use TweetDeck if this experiment gets rolled out to everyone. Right now, it's just a test. If you're in the test, please use the scheduling feature so that we can all get access to it. Twitter is also allowing users to report Twitter lists for the first time. This is because people have been complaining that there are trolls and people who use Twitter simply to harass other people that create lists of those Twitter users they want to harass so they can more easily see their tweets and harass them. Twitter says you can now report those lists and tell them if you think a list is being used for toxic reasons. Bonus round! DuckDuckGo will start using an internal whitelist of domains and websites that are verified to be HTTPS secure. Now they're doing this because they want to make sure they route users on DuckDuckGo to a secure version of a website, if at all possible. This is an important update because if you're a website that gets a lot of search traffic from DuckDuckGo and you currently are HTTPS, and DuckDuckGo tries to route that traffic to you, but your HTTPS certificate, your SSL certificate is expired, then you may lose that traffic. You may also be losing traffic if you don't 301 redirect your HTTP to your HTTPS correctly. The .org registry has just been purchased by a for-profit corporation. This means if you're a nonprofit operating your website on a .org domain, you should probably expect a price hike for registering or maintaining your .org domain in the very near future. Finally, in some really sad news, and I know I kind of want to say I told you so, I've been warning about this, but WeWork just laid off 2,400 employees. If you're a marketing agency, a consultant, or a small business, and you're in a WeWork facility, you need to start looking for another option. This is getting worse and worse by the day. Thanks for tuning in to the Weekend Digital Marketing So Far podcast edition. That is all the news that you probably missed for this past week. Now, if you're not aware, we actually do this as a video on YouTube. And in that video, I try to wear t-shirts that represent the SEO, the digital marketing, or the digital tech space. And I'd be happy to wear a t-shirt from your company in one of my videos, even if you're a competitor of mine. You can send the t-shirts to us if you go to joeyoungblood.com, scroll down to the bottom. We've got our address right down there in the footer. Ship us your t-shirt and we'll wear it in one of our upcoming videos.